The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Ashland.
Dennis Powers, retired professor of business law, author of Where Past Meets Present, available at hellgatepress.com. And we're always happy to have you back on here, Doc. How are you doing?
Always happy to be with you because, you know, there's so many ducks in the air and you have your blind, your retriever, and I'm holding the shotgun.
Okay, you're holding the shotgun. Pull. Here we go. Today we're going to talk about Craig Howard, though. It's another, we've been talking a lot recently about famed coaches here in Southern Oregon institutions, and why not? Let's do it. Craig Howard, SOU's premier football coach. Set us up here.
This is really an incredible story. He took over the SOU head football job in 2010. I was teaching at that time, a tenured professor at SOU then. And
yeah, Raiders team was kind of a joke in those days. Would that be fair?
They tried, but they kept losing. And the first year, he got them to break even. The next year, he was in the NAIA quarterfinals and won the Frontier Championship. And then in 2014, the team won the NAIA football championship. And Bill, that was a real big deal throughout Southern Oregon. Small school, really with diminished resources, if you will, but they had Craig Howard. And in any event, I can remember there were TV places open in terms of every restaurant and bar you could know going in through Medford and even Grants Pass. It was a big deal.
Yeah, you could say that that Craig really helped SOU punch above its weight, so to speak, right?
He did, and even when he lost three All-Americans, including one who went into the NFL as an All-Pro kicker, Aldrick Rosas, he came in the next year into the same championship game, just lost, and he had knocked off two top-ranked teams, second-ranked and third-ranked. But here's the thing. He then passed away just a year later, but he grew up in Grants Pass.
That's right.
He was a Southern Oregonian boy, played football at Grants Pass. He's on the Grants Pass High School Sports Hall of Fame, went to Linfield as a linebacker, named as Linfield's most inspirational player for 3 years. His coaching career started at Roseburg, OIT, when OIT had to cut back its program in 1992, and I remember this. He then also, he left for Florida, coached there for 16 years. His teams all in all, Bill, won near 70% of their games, but it was at Nice High School in Florida that he won the states, but he had a star quarterback by the name of Tim Tebow.
Oh, yeah.
And Bill, I had no idea, my friend, as to when all of a sudden the news was reporting, and even when I was talking to the AD at SOU, was that Tim Tebow was calling, and even had stopped by with that football team. But you see, the thing that really stood out also was that he was a religious man, Craig Howard. And even with those championships teams, my friend, at football games, he would go ahead and his team before the beginning of the game would kneel in prayer. And I kept thinking, how in the heck is he doing that?
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of curious. Did he get away with it because the team was successful, I'm wondering? Yeah, you have to wonder,
yes.
Don't you?
It was, and also with Tim Tebow.
By the way, I'm in agreement. I have no problem with what the coach did at all. But, you know, when you're talking about a coach in Ashland, which is, not exactly, a lot of residents there would kind of derisively say that he coaches praying to the sky, buddy. You know what I'm getting at, right?
Yeah, that's true. And you see, this is also, Trump's first term was in 2016, mm-hmm. And he didn't have the awful crimping and stepping on the jugular vein of the First Amendment until you got into the Obama and Biden regimes. But as people said, he could have been a Billy Graham if he wanted to be a preacher, because I met him. I talked with him. Another couple of stories. But what really stood out to me was during a championship game, the announcer was saying, oh, the coach has disappeared from the sidelines. This is the first one that they won. Mm-hmm. And they said, my gosh, I do not believe what's happening. He's in the stands. He went towards the stands, didn't go into them, and told the parents of his wide receiver that they had done an excellent, that he had done an excellent job, and he was proud of him. He was that type of a person, and he died in 2017 at age 64.
And he had actually been out that day recruiting, right? That's what he had done. I forget that. Do we know what happened? Did we ever find out why he died? Because he was not a young, not an old man at that point. He's only 64.
No, he was age 64, and you're right.
I say that, Doc, because I'm 63. Okay, all right.
Oh. Well, I think you got many more years to go, and frankly, I'm still collecting bets from friends of mine that said I wouldn't make it to the age I got. Mm-hmm. But. another thing, though, was that also one of the listeners went ahead and contacted me that Jerry Allen, who is the announcer for the Oregon Ducks for 37 years, has been shown on national TV even now, including Oregon, is the number one rated football team in all the country in NCAA. But he was also at Grants Pass High School, was just about 4 years actually after Craig Howard went through, and then he did KGI and worked at KYJC. But the connections there are really amazing, because then Jerry Allen, my friend, is in the Medford Sports Hall of Fame, and so this past and present continues on, and I haven't had a chance to talk to Jerry Allen, but I am sure that he knew of and had also talked with Craig Howard, based with, you know, their being in the same high school.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll certainly we'll have to talk to Jerry another time there. But thank you for this profile.
Sure.
I'll post it up. And why don't we kick around a little political news here in just a moment? I'd really like to pick your brain about birthright citizenship. This is a big, big deal. You ready for it, Dog? Ready?
We're ready to go.
Okay.
And thanks.
We'll do that next, okay? 823 at KMED.
Every carpenter wants to teach his son how to do carpentry, but daughters can build things too. So when it comes to carpentry, tools, lumber, and building materials, remember that making the right choice is very important. And the right choice for lumber and other building materials is Hughes Lumber. At Hughes Lumber, they offer the best lumber at the best prices to all builders. Hughes Lumber, serving everyone on Crater Lake Highway.
Every working man wants a new trailer for Christmas, but it's not going to magically appear in your driveway Christmas morning, because Rudolph reported they're a bit awkward and heavy to deliver. That's why Santa's outsourced trailer request at Two Dogs Fabricating. We're your holiday source for Horizon and Iron Bull trailers, in stock and priced right in 10, 12, 14, and 20 footers, tilt and dump trailers too. So pick up your gift at Two Dogs Fabricating on Bryan Way, off Sage in Medford. The reindeer, thank you.
This holiday season, Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. wants to extend a heartfelt thank you to all of their amazing customers. Your trust and support have made this year truly special. As everyone celebrates this joyous time, they want to wish you happy holidays and a happy new year filled with warmth, happiness, and prosperity. From the Westfall team to your home, thank you for choosing Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. Visit them at StephenWestfallRoofingInc.com for all your roofing solutions.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is your work truck and van headquarters. Proudly offering Adrian Steel interior shelving packages, partitions, and the best ladder racks in the business. Integrate a bed slide or decked drawer system to boost your efficiency. Also featuring the largest selection of commercial fiberglass and metal truck canopies from leading manufacturers such as ARE, SmartCap, Century, and more. Come see Oregon Truck and Auto Authority today and take your efficiency to the next level.
It's the Bill Myers Show on KMED, Southern Oregon's place to talk.
Dr. Dennis Powers, retired professor of business law, where past meets present. Well, Doc, you had President Trump, President-elect Trump, on Meet the Press yesterday. It was actually quite interesting. Went interesting, good freewheeling conversation. A lot of discussion when it comes to what to do about mass deportations, birthright citizenship, and such. And how do you end up handling the birthright citizenship aspect of this? Because there was talk about an executive order, but an executive order is not going to fix the problem about the interpretations of the 14th Amendment. Isn't that really what we're talking about right now? How do you see it legally?
That's a very good framing of the issue, and you're right. This whole area is one that Trump got into in terms of quote-unquote birthright citizenship in his first term. It didn't go anywhere. The reason is that the ACLU got involved. What's at stake here is the fact that the Constitution, the 14th Amendment, my friend, just really states that all persons born in the U.S. and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens.
But now, that's a very important distinction, though, and subject to the jurisdiction thereof, right? Isn't that the real sticky wicket when it comes to Supreme Court having taken on this in the past, right?
Yes, that's right. But you haven't had a case that came down directly on the issue. And mm-hmm. the reason is that it's relying on our Biden State Department and the Obama State Department, because underneath their jurisdiction as an administrative rule, they have stated that foreign diplomats are not subject to the jurisdiction of the United States and therefore cannot be American citizens as to their children and themselves. And what's happened is that it's a convoluted type of rule, but it's one to where you have administrative precedent that comes underneath this, but there has not been a direct Supreme case that is on this, and I am surprised that there hasn't been one that's been working it through. Now, it probably was working its way through, but you can't find out because it hasn't gone to trial yet. But the Biden administration just sat on it with their quote-unquote injustice department.
Is this not something that really should be addressed with legislation? And I'll just give an example in which Congress would then just define what it means subject to the jurisdiction thereof. Because I don't think that subject to the jurisdiction means that somebody who manages to crawl over the border and then gives birth to a child, or a Chinese tourist who is spending tens of thousands of dollars in birth tourism to come so that they could give birth in a United States hospital, that to me that does not strike me as subject to the jurisdiction as congressional intent. What say you?
Agreed. And I was last night talking with an ex-supervisor in a Northern California county, and he postulated that what is happening here is that that's what the reason why California towards the at the end because of their quote unquote voting mailing ballots and then counting them mm-hmm. towards the very end was why Trump lost the last two in California because they were vote gathering. And you see, that's the problem with this immigration issue is because the Democratic far left it has no scruples when it comes to vote gathering and having anyone that is born on U.S. soil, even if they're non-citizenships and they went ahead and are running drugs, those are people who are vote gatherers. So in any event, this is going to be a case that goes to the Supreme Court. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Mm-hmm. But in answer to your question, yes, you'll need Congress in there, but no matter whether Congress does or executive order followed by Congress with the Trump administration.
Yeah, there will be court cases to follow, for sure.
We know the ACLU, with all of their glory and the Soros backing, is going to come right in and jump on it.
Mm. Now, on Meet the Depressed, I always want to call it Meet the Depressed, right, you know, with NBC yesterday. But still, it was some pretty good conversation. And Donald, of course, talked about the mass deportations in the way that I would have thought he would have, for the most part, you know, the smart way, which is you have to go after the serious, cold-blooded criminals first. And that's reasonable. And he didn't say it's going to be expensive. It's going to be hard. Anything that's worth doing is not going to be necessarily easy in this respect. But I also find it interesting that he brought out an olive branch for the Dreamers, people who were brought here against their will as young children, and many of them are middle-aged now. And I guess he's talking about working some sort of a deal with the Republicans and the Democrats getting together and working a deal to grant them some kind of legal status, from what it sounds like. But he says that we have to have some, there has to be a rule of law on this process. He just can't keep, looking the other way, I guess. But it doesn't sound like he wants to deport the Dreamers anytime soon. It doesn't look like that at all.
Yeah, and you see, what he's doing is, I think, very, very good politically. Because, you know, as we recall, 2 days and the day before the election, mm-hmm. he was saying these are mass deportations. He is following up, but on the other hand, he's realistic because the fact that there is this equity argument having to do with Dreamers.
And you can understand that all right, someone who's been here, someone who's 40 years old and knows nothing about Mexico or Russia or any other place, doesn't speak the language, and then being thrown out, there does seem to be a problem with focusing on throwing them out right now. I think that's being reasonable.
Because also these are people who are paying taxes, more than likely. And you see, what he's doing is the devil, my friend, is in the details.
Yeah,
because
definitely.
It's going to be the details that come in as to defining what a Dreamer is, not Obama, racist in chief's definition, which is anyone that makes it here that they call a Dreamer and followed up by Biden and the oligarchs. So it's still the fight going on, and we just, all of us, including myself, can feel a breath of relief, although we know the fight continues. We can't give up.
Yeah. One thing for sure, though, is the Middle East sure changed overnight, didn't it?
Oh, that's amazing. And the big problem there is that you have a lot of warring factions, but ISIS is the main problem.
Well, yeah. I mean, come on, Doc. Al-Qaeda essentially is now going to run Syria, but that's okay, right?
Well, that's exactly what's coming in. There's going to be, in my estimation, an ability that Trump can use in negotiating with Russia, because they really were propping up the Syrian and Assad administration.
And the weakness of Assad, I think, was probably due to, Russia being stretched thin. Ukraine, right?
Right.
I mean, it's really what's going on. It's pretty
right.
obvious there.
And so when he called it on a ceasefire, Trump, yesterday, I just thought, well, that makes sense, because we have the fact that Russia has lost some of their influence in Syria, as did Iran, although the devil is going to be Al-Qaeda and ISIS. But it's something that where, thank God, we don't have Obama or Biden in there.
Yeah. Assad, and for as bad of a guy as he was, I'm not claiming he was some wonderful humanitarian, I can't help but be a little bit concerned that I'm looking at a Saddam 2.0 or a Gaddafi 2.0, in which everyone's talking about, hey, we're free, we're free, we're free. And you just ended up being replaced with a worse dictator, because Assad was an Alawite. He was a religious minority, and he worked to keep a lid on the hornet nest stew, I think, of everything that of having this multiple Islamic sects there. That'd be a fair assessment, what's going on. That's a hard deal. You got to have a big boot, stomp on people, I guess.
Absolutely, Bill. And it's an excellent point, because we saw the same thing in Iraq with Hussein. We saw, we have seen that before, because anytime there's a vacuum from a dictator, you have all of these splinter groups that are getting involved there, including the ones that can be most violent.
The rumor has it that a backdoor deal, in essence, has been cut. And what do you think about this theory? Now, we'll find out if it's true or not. But the conventional backdoor wisdom is that a backdoor deal was cut with Putin, in which, okay, you're going to get a chance to pretty much have your way with Ukraine, and then we have our way in the Middle East. What would you say to that? Is that a reasonable assumption, given what happened?
I would hope it'd be the other way around. And the only reason, Bill, is because Europe and NATO, Germany, France, Romania, all these places and former satellites of the Soviet Union are the ones to where we really have to be very careful with. And as to the Far East, it has always been a volatile place where we have never been able to do a good job, at least in my estimation.
Yeah, well, the energy is going to flow to Europe. That, I'm sure they're going to be happy about that. They don't have to buy it from Vlad at this point.
That's an excellent point, and especially given the fact that that's what really kept our industry going because of the export liquid gas and LPG. And as we recall, remember how Pelosi was clucking and gloating over the fact of what she got when the administration was able to get the agreement to allowing exports of LNG?
Yeah.
And that has been a saving grace for the oil and gas industry and also for Europe. And that's a point that's well taken.
All right. You have a wonderful week, and we'll talk again next Monday. Okay, Doc? You take care. Thank you.
Look forward to it, and best to you and Linda. Thanks.
Dr. Dennis Powers. Once again, DennisPowersBooks.com to find out more about the good doctor. 8:37. We'll catch up on a bit of news here. I want to talk a little bit about the Michael Williams situation with Medford 549C. And there's a little more information known about this now. And it's an interesting, more information of the investigation, at least, is out.
Matt here with an urgent message from the Josephine County Republican Party. Similar to what President Trump experienced, politically motivated citizens are using lawfare and misinformation in an attempt to recall Commissioner John West, one of our most fiscally conservative commissioners of all time. Win or lose, this misguided recall will waste $60,000 of our hard-earned taxpayer dollars. When you receive your recall ballot, vote no on this political attack and drop it at the county courthouse, the Republican Party headquarters, or as a last resort in the mail. Your action is urgently needed. If those opposed do not submit ballots, one of our most effective commissioners will be recalled. Stop the John West derangement syndrome. The Josephine County Republican Party urges you to counter this injustice by voting no and turning in your ballot by December 17th. Thank you. Paid for by Josephine County Republican Central Committee, PAC 319.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. A low-barrier homeless shelter is coming to Grants Pass after the city council approved a grant to fund it. The shelter will be located at 10th and 220 Redwood Highway. It's planned to accommodate about 100 people. The city will purchase the buildings at an appraisal price of $200,000 each, and the mobile integrative navigation team will be required to operate the shelter for 10 years. Commercial crab season opens December 16th on parts of the Oregon coast. The Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife says commercial crabbers will be able to start placing pots the 13th from Cape Falcon near Manzanita to the California border. Oregon is one of six states where federal regulators plan to roll out testing of raw milk to monitor for the spread of the bird flu in dairy cattle. The USDA ordered the new inspection process to contain and ultimately eliminate the virus. Bird flu has resulted in the deaths of millions of domestic birds and was first detected in dairy cows last March. Bill London, KMED News.
And now here's Chip Davis, founder and musical director of Mannheim Steamroller, with today's Christmas Countdown.
Today, it's the truth about Santa, whose story surprisingly begins with the Greek god Poseidon. The ancient Greeks believed that Poseidon provided everything good, and a good harvest, a good life. It all came from Poseidon. Some 2,000 years later, in 25 AD, a Christian church was built on the ruins of an old Poseidon temple. It was home to a kind and benevolent bishop who wore bright red and green robes. His name was Nicholas. And like Poseidon, he also gave gifts, but only to good little children each Christmas. Tomorrow, how Nicholas became our modern Santa Claus. And I'm Chip Davis of Mannheim Steamroller.
This holiday, focus on what truly matters and let Incogni protect your online privacy. Give the gift of security and peace of mind. Incogni.com.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is sponsored by Fontana Roofing. For roofing, gutters, and sheet metal services, visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
Hi, this is Charlene at American Industrial Door. Colder weather can make springs snap, and the rain makes jams swell and seals deteriorate. Lower temperatures can also make a garage door less flexible and put added strain on your door opener. Now is a good time to call American Industrial Door and have us service and adjust your door and opener to make sure it continues to provide safe and convenient operation. For garage door service and repair you can trust, count on your local expert for over 30 years. American Industrial Door in Central Point and Grants Pass.
Everyone deserves a fast and reliable connection, one that helps better their everyday through the things they value most: friends and family, education and career. A connection that opens pathways to opportunity and builds roads to a better future. At Spectrum, we're committed to delivering just that every single day. Because with the right connection, anything is possible. That's Life Unlimited. That's Spectrum.
On a silent night, have you ever asked, "Do you hear what I hear?" as your house is settling? Millette Construction reminds you this holiday season that while you deck the halls, if you notice sloping floors and cracks in walls, that's a sign your home's foundation needs a gift too. Call Millette Construction, because all we want for Christmas is to level your house and repair the damage. Have yourself a merry level Christmas from Millette Construction. Visit MilletteConstruction.com.
This is the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED. Got something on your mind? Give Bill a shout at 541-770-5633. 770-KMED.
First, a little bit of good breaking news. Jury finds Daniel Penny not guilty. So the second trial that they were going to go and start debating and deliberating today, they found him not guilty. So looks like he's going to be okay. It was hung on Friday. They ended up dismissing the first charge, the more serious charge. And then the homicide charge ended up going away. Unintentional homicide. I forget exactly what it was. But that's good news. Good news. Now they're saying that threats have been issued against the jury after the jury found Penny not guilty because, he's just supposed to be found guilty, I guess. All right, so we have that story. Now, we have another story playing out here, and it has to do with a school board director, Michael Williams. I've talked with Michael a couple of times, and in last week's board meeting, results of the investigation that they ended up doing with an independent law firm up north, having to do with this situation. It all started with Lieutenant Doney being reassigned Medford Police. And apparently, everybody seemed to like Josh Doney a lot. And so Williams ended up getting sideways of the board and also of the district with this reassignment. And I talked to Michael a couple of times, seemed to be a well-spoken man. And he's now lawyered up because the system seems to want to be going after him criminally over some of the stuff that happened here. And I'm just going to read a little bit from the executive summary because I don't have time to go all the through the 30, 40 pages of this. But on August 6, 2024, Ron Havenier, the Medford School District Executive Director of Security, filed a complaint with Superintendent Brett Champion regarding Board of Education Director Michael Williams. The scope of the investigation: to examine the evidence regarding Mr. Havenier's complaint, make factual findings, and make policy findings as to whether Mr. Williams violated any district policies. The investigation does not include determination as to whether there were violations of the law. In February 2024, Board Member Michael Williams developed concerns about certain aspects of the district's safety program. These concerns were in part related to information Mr. Williams had learned from school resource officer Josh Doney. February 2024 and March 7, 2024, the Medford School District Board of Education met to discuss these concerns and received an extensive report on the district's safety plan from Mr. Havenier. Following the March meeting, Mr. Williams expressed appreciation for Mr. Havenier's work and asked to meet him again. March 12th, Mr. Williams and Mr. Havenier met in the district offices. During this meeting, Mr. Williams said to Mr. Havenier, "I am trauma bonded with SRO Doney, and I want to make it very clear that if you come after Doney, I will die on that hill." Mr. Williams made this statement because he was concerned that Mr. Havenier would take action against Officer Doney because Officer Doney had talked to Mr. Williams about safety concerns. Mr. Havenier understood Mr. Williams' statement to be a threat against him and a warning to not take action in regard to Officer Doney's assignment or performance. Mr. Havenier had significant performance concerns about Officer Doney, and Mr. Havenier and the Medford Police Department jointly agreed that Officer Doney would be reassigned back to patrol in July. When Mr. Williams learned of the reassignment, he sought detailed information about the reasons for the reassignment from Superintendent Champion, who declined to provide that information because it was confidential employment information. Mr. Williams also asked Board Chair Wright to call a board meeting to discuss the reasons for Officer Doney's reassignment, which Board Chair Wright declined to do because that was not an issue that was within the authority of the board. Frustrated by the lack of information and the ability to meet with the board, Mr. Williams believed his only recourse to express his concerns about Officer Doney's reassignment was to talk to the media. On July 23rd, Mr. Williams had a telephone call with Natalie Hurd. That's the PIO over there. To tell Ms. Hurd that he was going to speak to the media about his concerns about the reassignment of Officer Doney. During that call, Mr. Williams stated to Ms. Hurd, "I told Havenier, don't F with Doney." Mr. Williams then immediately apologized for this statement. Ms. Hurd understood this. Ms. Hurd understood this as a threat to carry through on taking actions against Mr. Havenier because of Officer Doney's reassignment. In late July and August 2024, Mr. Williams made statements in several news articles that were directly critical of Mr. Havenier. And Mr. Williams does not participate in social media, but there were many social media posts that were also very critical of Havenier. Now, summary of allegations and findings. This is what the investigation is saying. Mr. Williams violated district policy by threatening Mr. Havenier during a meeting by stating, "I am trauma-bounded with SRO Doney, and I want to make it very clear that if you come after Doney, I will die on that hill." That's a threat? So they now consider this a threat. So disagreeing is a threat. I guess this is where they go. "This allegation is substantiated. Mr. Williams violated policy GBNA, GBNAR, hazing, harassment, intimidation, bullying, menacing, cyberbullying, staff and policy BBF, board member standards of contact." So they're saying that, Michael Williams bullied the director of security. The other allegation, Mr. Williams violated district policy by actively and repeatedly seeking to engage in matters that were within the superintendent's authority, including both the reassignment of Officer Doney and Mr. Williams' concerns about Mr. Havenier. This allegation is substantiated. Mr. Williams violated policy BBAA, individual board members' authority and responsibilities. And there were some other ones in here, too. I don't, like I said, I'm not going to go in the into the whole thing. I'll post the study in case you haven't read it yet, or the investigation. When asked during his interview about his understanding of the role of a board member, Mr. Williams stated, "I can give you my understanding. Based on my experience thus far and what I was told by the Oregon School Board Association, OBSA said that you are in a cruise ship. You are setting the destination and the speed, but when it comes to making engine repairs or deciding the menu, you don't make those decisions. You need to get where you want to be and make sure the guests are happy and safe." So I said, "I'm going to sit in the audience and eat the food. I'm not going to talk to the chef. If I find out that they are not doing first in, first out in the kitchen, then I'm aware that can result in the tainting of food that can cause a foodborne illness. So if I see this, I go to the captain and say they are not doing FIFO. I don't tell a coach who should be in or out. I don't tell a principal what to do. My job is to go to the school board and talk about policies or concerns. Or if we need to give direction to the superintendent, to give them direction." All right. Now, a friend of mine, I asked a friend of mine in the education world down here in Southern Oregon, what did you think about this particular thing? And this individual is not a fan of Michael Williams. I get that. Believes that there may be a savior complex. That was the term that was used to me. There's a savior complex. And I respect this individual in the education world, but I have I was actually supportive of Michael Williams because I saw that he cared and he gave a damn and was not willing just to sit down, be kept like a typical mushroom on a school board, covered up with excrement, and you're just there to rubber stamp the establishment. He has a kid in the district there, too. Maybe he went about this. I don't see how disagreeing and saying, hey, I'm going to die on this hill, is a threat, and that you're a bully and harassment of it. But I had mentioned this before, that my concern is that anybody that's truly fighting the status quo, and the status quo means the, you know, the unionized teachers in combination with the superintendent and all the rest of it, it's all part of this. Everybody seems to be circling the wagons and just wanting to rubber stamp the policies of the Medford 549C school district. And my suspicion, and maybe he was wrong about this, because when you're a school board member, you shouldn't care too much. And if you care too much, you're going to find yourself sideways with a lot of pretty powerful people. It's just my opinion, all right? What Michael Williams did may have been inelegant, but I think he did it because he cares. And maybe what Michael is guilty most of is actually thinking that he, as a school board member, has any real power. I think one of the biggest frauds that we're told is that, well, you know, if you really want to make some effects and get some effects and policy, go to work on the school board. Get on the school board and you'll be able to really make a difference. I think Michael Williams makes it very clear that no, you don't really get a chance to make a difference, because all the policies are designed that you're going to be in this little narrow lane and your job is to take whatever the superintendent and all the other hired help says and say, oh, okay, approved. Or maybe we get a chance to disagree a little bit, even though you are the elected representatives of the parents, you know, on the board, you know. But you're not supposed to be, don't get uppity. Don't get uppity about what you think you can actually do and what you're in control of, because the hired help's really in charge. That's just my opinion. Like I said, Michael may find himself, you know, in legal trouble. He's not going to talk right now because, you know, he's had a lawyer up because they're going after him legally in other ways. But I'm not saying that I agree with everything he did or that I would have even done that. But my concern, though, is that I think what he is most guilty of is actually thinking that a school board member has real power over the status quo of any of our districts. I may be absolutely off base on that, but I'm just giving you my hot take on it. We'll see where it goes. Hi, good morning. This is Bill. Who's this? Welcome.
This is Logan, Bill, and you are right on with what's going on.
Really?
Yeah, from personal experience, in February, I think it was the 7th, I went and spoke at a school board meeting. And because of what I said at that school board meeting, just saying that we need to be aware of what, because the teachers had voiced at that meeting just literally physical altercations by students, and then the very next day, them just sitting right in that classroom.
So this is going back to the concerns that Michael was raising about, and this is why I asked him about, do we have restorative justice? And apparently in school board policies, we do have restorative justice, which is we get those kids back into the seat right away as soon as possible. And
that's it, because it's just dollar signs to them. And the bottom line is, if you voice your concern with the school board, what they did in my case is they took my picture, Mr. Champion took my picture and brought it around to all the school board members and every employee of the staff, letting them know that I was a threat and to watch out for me just because of what I said.
So disagreeing with the superintendent is in essence a threat. And by the way, I'm not supportive of what Michael did as far it was inelegant. Okay, can you agree with me on that? Sometimes it's, you know, when you say, hey, I'm going to die on this hill, that is a testosterone-fueled kind of real guy talk in which, hey, this is serious. You know, I'm not kidding around, you know, about this. This is a serious issue. and I'm willing to go to Matt on it is how I interpret it. But I noticed that every time there was something like that said, that's construed as a threat in the school district.
Yeah. And that's exactly, Michael is an extremely candid, honorable person, and he believes in doing the right thing. And he won't just stand around and watch people do the wrong thing. And that's exactly what we need in our government and our school boards and everything else, is men who aren't scared to just go with the flow and be, like you said, be a mushroom just sitting there. He stands for the people of this community, for the children of this community. And the superintendent there and his minions stand for the dollars that they get, and that's it.
Yeah, I can't necessarily say that. I think we're looking at certainly turf wars, but the turf war is that you, the elected representative on the board, is just there to, maybe this is the way of looking at it. Let's look at the Medford School Board much like the way Republicans are in the state legislature. Republicans in the state legislature right now are there to vote for Democrat legislation. Maybe it's the same thing with the school board, right?
You nailed it. You are exactly right over the target with this. It's why you're going to get flack when you're over the target.
Yeah.
Just the bottom line is, we need to continue to support Michael. And I encourage parents to show up. If you don't believe me, try to speak out against what's going on, or just express some concern. And watch your picture get taken in the school board. School employees, tell them you're a threat. They'll tell them you're a threat.
All right, Logan, I appreciate you calling. Thanks for checking in, all right? It's 8:57. This is the Bill Myers Show. Be right back.
If your home computer has issues, call Tech Nomad. Tech Nomad is your locally owned and operated computer repair and tech support. They help with annual diagnostics, tune-ups, software updates, removing viruses, installing antivirus, upgrading hard drives, and more. Tech Nomad offers remote diagnostics by phone, pickup and drop-off, or in-home service. Phishing scams are sophisticated, so an innocent click may be damaging your computer performance or compromising your privacy. Call your IT department, Tech Nomad. Visit mytechnomad.com.
Looking for durable and custom-fit metal roofing? Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. specializes in metal roofing. With two portable snap-lock machines, they pull right up to your door, allowing them to custom-cut every panel for a perfect fit. With over 18 years of experience, they serve Jackson, Josephine, and Curry counties, offering reliable roofing solutions tailored to your needs. Licensed, bonded, and insured for your peace of mind. Visit StephenWestfallRoofingInc.com today for your free estimate. CCB number 250730.
Getting ready to move? Crosstown Movers agent for Beacons Van Lines is Southern Oregon's trusted name for moving and storage, with professional, friendly service and affordable rates for moving locally, statewide, or across the country. Crosstown Movers is your local Penske truck rental dealer with a huge selection of boxes and supplies. Crosstown Movers also has 20-foot outdoor mini storage units available for rent at 411 First Street in Medford. So when you're moving or just storing, save time and stress and check out crosstownmover.net for all of your moving and storage needs.
As you travel during the holidays to visit family and friends, Lithia Body and Paint knows you want your vehicle looking its best. So if you have a dent, scratch, or big crunch in your car, stop by so they can have a look. Simple dents, dings, and scratches are often easy, fast, and affordable to fix. Plus, it's an unscientific fact that your car runs better when it looks like new. Your holiday looking good pulling into the driveway headquarters is Lithia Body and Paint. Service, speed, accuracy. That's Lithia Body and Paint on Bullock Road in Medford.
Hi, I'm Lisa with Kelly's Automotive Service, and I'm on KMED.
David is here. David, you wanted to weigh in on the 549C district I was just mentioning here just a moment ago. Fire away.
Hey, Bill, why on earth are people's kids in these schools? Why would you go to these structures, this entity built, these government schools, and then complain about what you get, especially in the advent of everything that changed in 2021 with the schools and the number of charter schools that are available, and simply the fact that you don't have to participate in that type of education for your child, but to go into these schools, I mean, I think people are need to go through a major paradigm shift inside themselves and realize they're walking in to this school, that the institution built it the way they built it, for the purposes they built it. Why on earth are you there? And secondarily, why on earth would you be there complaining about what you get? People need to get out of those things. It's madness.
Mm. A lot of people feel, I think, trapped in that. Maybe we talk more about that on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. But I appreciate your call as always, David, okay? It's I'm running a little bit late here. In fact, we're going to join Town Hall News in Progress here on KMED, KMED HD1 Eagle Point Medford, and KBXG Grants Pass. And like I mentioned, tomorrow, Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday.